News, talking to Allison Randall, co-chair of O'Reilly's Open Source Conference, going on next month in Portland, Oregon. We're here to get some idea of what's going on in the world of open source, what to expect from OSCON, and what's interesting to Allison. So, Allison, what's interesting with OSCON this year?
Some of the biggest things we tried to catch were mobile technology. That's very big in open source right now. Well, not just open source, in the world at large, but in open source, there's a lot of action in using Linux as the embedded...
The driver for embedded platforms, like on the OpenMoco phone, the MAMO device, maybe Android, with the iPhone, basically.
And things like Intel's MID device. Ubuntu has launched their own mobile and embedded distribution.
Cleverly called Ubuntu Mobile, right?
I think they're calling it Ubuntu ME.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah, targeted at mobile devices. Not particularly at phones, because the Intel MID is not a phone appliance, but it is a portable internet appliance.
So like the Nokia tablets, the
yeah.
N800, things like that, or the Asus PC?
Mm-hmm. So the small portable devices with connectivity of some sort, whether they include a phone or not. These are huge right now. So we actually added a full one-day event specific for mobile technology. It's going to be on Monday of the conference.
Did vendors give you any cool swag for that?
I don't know. I'd pay attention to swag.
Too bad. You should get swag.
They probably did.
What else? There was a nice hardware hacking track last year. Do you have something similar this year?
We don't have... Oh, yes. We have a tutorial on Arduino, which is the
it's sort of $90 board that's easy to program and cool stuff.
Yeah, hardware kit in a box.
Right.
And there's also a session on RepRap, which is a company built on top of Arduino, hardware printing, essentially.
Hardware printing?
Like
3D
printing
printers
out
and fabs?
3D printing of components.
So you can feed in your raw materials and they'll print a circuit for you?
No, it's not that level of printing. It's like printing out components for used in machines, that sort of thing. It's not
so
metal yet,
toner,
but plastic.
You fill it with, say, resistors and diodes. And
well, no, you fill it with plastic.
You fill it with plastic.
They will have it so you can fill it with metal. Right now you just fill it with stick.
Okay, so it's just a 3D printer. It's basically machining.
Basically,
without,
yeah.
Without having to do molds and things like that, custom mold injection. The convergence of software and hardware, then. What's interesting in the world of software in terms of broad themes and trends this year? What did you and Ed look at when you were putting together the software tracks?
So we have the usual tracks that are divided by programming language. We've got a strong Perl track, Python track, Ruby track, PHP track. Those four are all. But so we've got 2 full days of content for each of those languages. We also have a Linux track. One day is devoted more to desktop Linux, and the other day is devoted more to the internals of Linux administration, sorts of topics like virtualization.
Did you pull the Linux track from the Ubuntu conference?
No. So we have 2 full days of Linux content, and we also added 3 full days. Well, Friday's a half day anyway, but full one room dedicated to the Ubuntu content that we pulled from Ubuntu Live conference.
Wow.
So it actually gives us 5 days of Linux-related content.
Crammed into 3 days.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So again, with Ubuntu, there's one day that's more desktop-related, and one day that's more related to using Ubuntu in the enterprise, managing your Ubuntu users across multiple systems throughout a large company installation.
No, you added a Java track last year, the year before. Is that still in place?
Yes, and that should actually be mentioned earlier when I talk about programming languages.
I think everybody knows Java is a programming language by now.
We do have 2 full days of Java content as well. So we've got a session on comparing Groovy and Ruby. Groovy and JRuby.
Similar languages, implementations running on JVM.
Mm-hmm. A session on Spring 2.5 due to some of the latest features of Spring.
So. Programming framework for Java web applications.
And also simple JDBC development with Spring and MySQL.
Anything on open source Java? Because it looks like Sun's about to finish opening the source to Java.
Yeah, and we've got Dalibor Topic doing a session on the OpenJDK. But nothing more on, we don't have a general update on
OpenJava. No general
Java.
Update on OpenJava or Open Java Community Process or something like that. So what about some of the other languages? What topics are interesting to you enough that you accepted sessions for them in, say, Perl, Python, Ruby, PHP?
So Ruby has a couple of interesting things on Rails, but we focused a lot this year on the new stuff in Ruby. Metaprogramming is something that's very interesting. We have several sessions on metaprogramming in Ruby.
I bet you had dozens of submissions to talk about metaprogramming in Ruby.
We did. We picked the best. We picked the best tutorial. So that's a half tutorial, and we picked the best session on metaprogramming. There's a couple of interesting sort of cross-topic Ruby talks. One on controlling electronics and one on real-time computer vision. Using Ruby.
Well, that sounds really interesting. Who's giving that one?
Ben Blything is electronics, and Dan Wedkind is the computer vision. And also a couple of sort of state of talks on what to expect from Ruby 1.9 and on Iron Ruby.
So you have John Lamb talking about Iron Ruby?
Yes.
That reminds me, last year some of the best sessions were Haskell. You have Simon Peyton-Jones back this year?
Not Simon Peyton-Jones. We have...
Brian O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Brian O'Sullivan. Excellent. Author of... one of the co-authors of our upcoming real-world Haskell book, as a matter of fact.
There was Method in the Madness. We've got several unusual talks along those lines. Oh, we've also got a tutorial on Erlang.
Is that Joe Armstrong?
Francesco Cesarini.
Maybe he knows Joe Armstrong.
Possibly.
Is it a general introduction to Erlang, something specific like using Erlang with Amnesia, everything you should know about Erlang but should take back to your own language, or something else?
It's a basic introduction, specifically on the sequential and concurrent aspects of Erlang.
Is that a tutorial or a session?
That's a tutorial.
Mm.
We also have a session on beautiful concurrency with Erlang by Kevin Scaldiferi from Yahoo. That should be interesting.
That should be. I've seen that talk. It's good. So that leaves our mainstay dynamic languages, Perl, Python, PHP.
I'll just do a quick review of Perl. We have the obligatory Perl 6 update from Larry Wall and Damian Conway.
And that one is by Christmas.
Some Christmas.
We won't tell you which Christmas it is.
So we've got some good, we got a good tutorial on Mod Perl 2, Perl security, as well as Damian on best practices. That's interesting. Strawberry Perl, of course.
Strawberry Perl, for those of you who don't know, is a new Perl distribution aimed at Windows users. It includes things like the minimal GNU compiler, so you can install and compile XS modules on Windows and use CPAN just as well as those of us who are enlightened enough and fortunate enough to use Unix-like platforms. So Adam Kennedy will give a good talk about that. And if you're lucky, I think he's going to be able to demonstrate running this completely off of a flash device, so you don't even have to install it to your hard drive.
That would be cool.
Yes.
Also, some talks on Moose, which is the new object system, sort of an overlay object system for Perl.
Sort of a board of the best ideas of the Perl 6 object system, plus some interesting techniques stolen lovingly from Common Lisp's object system.
Then Patrick Michaud is going to be talking about Recudo, which is Perl 6 implemented on Parrot. Tim Bunce, the famous developer of DBI, is going to be talking about Perl and Parrot. And, of course, the Perl Lightning Talks.
Most fun Lightning Talks anywhere.
Best ones I've seen, except possibly for Why the Lucky Stiff. He's
hilarious. Do you have him back this year?
No, he's not here this year.
That's unfortunate. That was possibly my favorite OSCON talk ever. I can't say I learned a lot, but it was very entertaining.
You have to keep a little variety.
Yeah, so any other puppet shows this year at OSCON?
No guarantee.
Maybe for the lightning talks. Sign up now.
The PHP. We have Rasmus talking about architecture, scalability, and security. That one is a tutorial, like half-day tutorial. Should be interesting.
Do you know if he's going to show off the security scanner that he's been working on at Yahoo?
I don't know. I hope so. And Laura Thompson talking about writing beautiful code in PHP. That's a kind of a general theme of OSCON there, of not just techniques for writing, but how to become a better programmer. Not just in PHP, but in all languages. Top 10 Scalability Mistakes by John Kogeschall from Zend is one of our most popular sessions so far.
Yeah, he used to write for me, actually. He's a smart guy. He knows his PHP backwards and forwards.
And then Wes Furlong is going to talk about creating Cocoa apps with PHP. Another one of those crossovers, open source in the mainstream. Python. We got an introduction to Django tutorial. That should be interesting.
Probably well attended.
Yeah.
Seems to be one of Python's biggest applications these days.
There's another talk on design patterns in Python by Joe Gregorio from Google. That's interesting.
Definitely.
Anthony Baxter, also from Google, is going to be giving a talk on Python 3.0, which is the projected, upcoming or projected future major release that they're working towards now.
They're supposed to be releasing a new beta around the time of BossCon.
If I'm not perfectly wrong. Timed.
With an eye towards a general release September-October timeframe. So good time to brush up on Python if you want to upgrade to Python 3. What about keynotes this year? I know some of them have been hit and miss in previous years, but there have also been some brilliant ones. Steve Yagi last year on branding and marketing for geeks.
That was even better than we expected.
It was great. It was mostly off the cuff because his slides didn't work. Dick Hart a couple of years ago talking about identity and why that matters. Anything you think might come up this year? Berlefkowitz, the Rommel?
So Tuesday night, which is the opening session for OSCON, it's open to the general public. Anyone can show up for that. We have Shuttleworth and Rommel and Damian Conway.
Call him Rommel.
Yeah. His full name in there.
Do you know what they're going to talk about? I can imagine Damian Conway will talk about Latin or ancient history or dead software. Mark Shuttleworth, no idea. Rommel, Italian history. Well, possibly vegetable.
Rommel's is Exceptional Software Explained, Brace Error.
Okay.
Which is interesting. Damien's is... it's a mouthful. Temporally quaquaversal virtual nanomachine programming in multiple topologically connected quantum relativistic parallel time spaces made easy.
So he's using Perl 6 for that. Because we added an operator for that just the other day.
Uh-huh. That's the one character operator.
It looks like a waffle in code. What about Mr. Shuttleworth?
I don't know what he's going to be talking about yet. Should be interesting, whatever it is.
So what about the morning keynotes? What's worth waking up and going to downtown Portland early in the morning for?
So a couple of interesting ones. So I'm just going to go through like one day at a time. Wednesday, the first conference, Christine Peterson, who works for the Foresight Institute.
She's actually the person who coined the term open source.
Yes.
Back in 1997, if I recall correctly.
Exactly. And she's going to be talking about open source physical security, as well as a little bit about the history of how open source got started.
And that's interesting, because the Foresight Institute's really interested in nanotechnology, so imagine physical security is interesting to people who don't want the gray goo situation. I'm done. Go ahead.
I just couldn't think of anything to say back to that. And then from Intel, we've got Ima Soso talking about Moblin, which, again, hitting on that mobile technology idea. Moblin is Intel's Linux for mobile devices.
It was also the name of one of the enemies in The Legend of Zelda, if I recall correctly.
Probably.
That's an interesting coincidence.
And then we'll have Tim O'Reilly is going to interview Monty Widenius.
Monty from MySQL.
Yes, and Brian Aker.
Also from MySQL.
Yes. Well, actually also from Sun now, if I understand correctly.
But so, MySQL within Sun.
Yeah, one of the topics is going to be, you know, so the merger and how the company is going now and sort of what we can expect to see from MySQL in the future.
Brian proposed this talk. I saw his proposal, and he said, there's a big debate here, which is classic Brian understatement for you don't want to miss this session because it's going to be a big argument that's going to be very interesting, I think. Not necessarily between Monty and Brian, but there are definitely some interesting topics they're going to bring up here, if I'm correct.
I expect so.
So I'll set my alarm for Wednesday morning, at least.
Thursday morning, we've got Keith Bergelt, who's the new, I have to remember what his title is, CEO of the Open Invention Network. So that is a group that is taking contributions of patents from a variety of companies like IBM.
Red Hat, I believe.
Red Hat,
Novell.
Yep. And sort of dipping a portfolio in defense of Linux, you know, saying
any open source free software developer is welcome to use these patents royalty free. But if a business or something decides to sue a user or developer, then we have these other patents we can use defensively against them.
Basically, although at the moment they're only granting the patents to, it's specifically for Linux. It's not for other open source projects. They're starting with a focused zone and then working their way out from there.
I've heard there was some controversy over that. It'd be interesting to see that talk.
Yeah, so come prepared with your questions for Keith if you ask him why they're not supporting other open source projects yet. Then we've got Peter Salas, who was involved with the early days of Unix. Dennis Ritchie and
Brian Kernighan.
So Peter is a linguist and a historian. He's currently writing a book on the history of Unix and Linux.
So that could be a sleeper talk, like the George Dyson talks of a couple of years ago.
Sleeper as in that's your 15 minutes to rest during the morning keynotes?
No. Sleeper as in the talk title didn't give me an indication this is going to be just a great hit. This is going to be a wonderful talk.
Anniversaries. So he calls it anniversaries, sort of talking about the fact that this is the 10th anniversary of the term open source.
Well, it's the 10th anniversary of OSCON anyway.
It is. OSCON, the first OSCON was in the fall, and the term was coined at a meeting in the early spring. So he's talking a little bit about technology as it developed.
Like I said, could be the sleeper hit of the conference.
Denise Cooper talking about why whinging doesn't work.
That's whining for us Americans.
Yes, as a British... Well, it's a little bit... It's not quite whining. Whining implies a high-pitched voice. Whinging just is complaining in an excessivating way may not be a high-pitched voice.
So on the internet?
Yes. Specifically, this talk was developed, she gave a version of it, a different version of it, at Scale, the Southern California Linux Expo. In that particular talk, it was for the Women in Open Source panel, so just complaining about why things don't work or complaining about not getting the respect you deserve really do anything. The important step to take is to live as if the future is here today.
Sort of like a categorical imperative for people who really can change the world?
Something like that.
That's interesting. This moment of Kantian philosophy brought to you by the letters Q, the numbers 3 and 7.
And on that note, final talk today is Nat Torkington on spawning the next generation of hackers.
I hope he doesn't have pictures.
He's been doing a lot of really interesting stuff in teaching children about the ages of about 8 to 10, teach them to program using Squeak. Also used some online programming interface, which I cannot remember at the moment.
I've said a couple of times on O'Reilly Radar about this, so if you look back at his archives, you should be able to see some interesting information there. Was that Thursday or was that Friday?
That was Thursday.
All right, so what's on for Friday?
Friday, Benjamin Mako Hill, who's involved in Ubuntu and OLPC and various other interesting projects.
Creative Commons as well.
Free Software Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
He currently lists himself as affiliated with the MIT Center for Future Civic Media. So Mako's talking about advocating software freedom by revealing errors.
Sounds like a callback to Lefkowitz, doc.
Yeah. The theme of anti-patterns has been a strong one this year. The idea of learning from mistakes or showing by example what you shouldn't be doing.
Showing by bad example.
Then Dawn Nafis, who is an anthropologist that works for Intel, she's exploring the ways that our culture predisposes us to not see opportunities, or to not see how technology can and will be used in third world countries, even in first world countries, as they develop and change. So
the attitude that people have, why are you spending $1 million to send laptops to Libya? Why don't you send them food anyway? Which is sort of a wrong-headed attitude, because there's not really widespread starvation in Libya.
I don't think she would say that's her particular area. I'd say her area is more, why do certain kinds of cell phones sell better in third world countries? Sam Ramji from Microsoft talking about open source heroes. I kind of paired Sam up with Dawn intentionally. Sam has a degree in cognitive psychology and has some very unique perspectives on the use of technology.
I imagine also on cognitive dissonance.
Tim Bray is going to talk about why dynamics are going to take over the world. Dynamic languages would be Perl, Python, PHP, Ruby, Lua.
In there. Lua.
Erlang.
Basically everything but Java and C# and C++. You know, the traditional stuff.
And then J.P. Rangaswamy from British T Design, which is telecom, on learning from airports.
Also learning from errors and failures, honestly.
Anti-patterns again.
That's right. So is he responsible from Heathrow?
I'm guessing so.
Poor guy.
Or at least out of Heathrow.
He will have hopefully good not, grist for his talk then.
Hopefully not Terminal 5. Anything flying out of Terminal 5 yet? Or is it like this hypothetical sort of 42 virtual terminal?
I heard it goes to Hogwarts.
So those are probably the big topics. There's a few one-offs, like NASA talking about Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory, about searching for neutrinos with open source.
There's one over there.
You find
a neutrino? I found a neutrino, yeah.
Absorbing sunshine?
Yes.
Oh, there it is. Open source software in satellite science data processing at NASA. Essentially, some of the ways that NASA is using open software internally.
I heard they actually have a modified version of Eclipse that lets them schedule processing jobs and decide which mission components to run at various times during the day on things like the recent Phoenix mission.
Recently interviewed them on that exact topic.
Not on that particular topic, but that did come up, yes.
Mm-hmm. Creating open source electronic hardware with open source software.
Who's giving that?
Tom Anderson from Agilent. Oh, here's an interesting session. Zach Grant is going to talk about greening the conference circuit, so ways that we can make our conferences more environmentally friendly.
I heard he's actually riding a canoe. He hauled it out himself all the way from Europe over to Portland for that. So he needs to be leaving right about...
2 years ago.
Right.
Actually, I think he lives in Canada.
But he had a conference talk in Europe.
So we've got a session with... Cliff Schmidt and a few others about using open source software, open content, open hardware, and open curriculum in education.
Is that education in the U.S. or in other countries?
All over the world.
All over the world. Interesting.
That's hardware and content combinations. Very inexpensive hardware. I mean, we're not talking $100 laptops. We're talking, you know, MP3 players. Very inexpensive hardware that can be used to help promote literacy around the world.
So let me ask you a procedural question then. How do you and Ed decide what to feature? Do you go out and search on topics, fitting a theme? Do you look at all your submissions and say, everybody's ache last year and they want to talk about how not to do the same thing this year? Do you chase down people? Do you get suggestions coming in? I don't want to give a talk, but you should really, really go talk to this person. How do you do that?
So the bulk of the talks do come in from the initial proposal round. We get over 700 proposals every year to fill about 180 to 170 spaces.
So about 1 in 5 chance of getting accepted then.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. So from the initial proposal round, we pick the talks that are just the best in general. Speakers that are known to be really good, proposals that, you know, you read through it and you're just like, yeah, we got to see that talk. So we start there, and then we also look for particular trends that are currently going on, either things that we've tracked through the O'Reilly radar or just things that we know are particularly hot right now. And we scan through the proposals that we got and pick. If we have a good talk on a topic that we want, we'll pick it from the proposals. If we don't have a good proposal on a particular topic, then we'll actually go out and we'll ask people that we know are involved in that project or connected to general issue topic. So if we don't get a good proposal, then we will request a talk from someone that we know is qualified to give a good talk on the subject. It usually ends up being about 75% of the talks come from the proposals, and in about 20% we request for a specific topic. You do kind of get, I mean, aside from our own trend tracking activity, you do get a sense from the proposals that come in. You start to get a sense of this is what is on people's minds in the open source community this year. Like, you know, the fact that this year metaprogramming and anti-patterns are two things that we got way more proposals than we could possibly use. You know, you could almost fill a whole conference on metaprogramming or a whole conference on anti-patterns just because of it. But we picked the best talk that representing that this is something that's significant to people's minds right now.
You could almost create a conference called You're Doing It Wrong. I leave that to our listeners to decide whether that means metaprogramming or anti-patterns. That's a no. We're not getting a You're Doing It Wrong conference.
Oh, I don't think people would pay to go to it, but an entertaining, like, bar camp.
All right. We'll do that then.
You're Doing It Wrong camp.
Fail camp.
Fail camp. Oh, I like that.
I like that a lot. So what really, really surprised you this year? What came in that you said, oh my goodness, we never had this on our agenda. We have to hear about this. I mean, PHP and Cocoa, that's kind of weird.
That is. That's an interesting one.
That's kind of a cool hack.
We have one on Pluto. DLSQL unit testing for Oracle. That, it looked fascinating. I never would have thought of... It's not something I've ever run across before.
Well, you know, David Wheeler, who lives actually here in Portland, just enabled PLSQL testing with Postgres. He ported some of Perl's testing to Postgres, PLSQL, or PGPLSQL, I think is what it's called. So I've seen him give talks about that, and it was pretty amazing. I mean, you write your tests in SQL, you run your tests in SQL, but you use the same protocol, you use the same format, just use the same tools that you can use to manage your tests in Perl, and all of a sudden, you've even that much more of your application. It's really interesting. Oh, and there are also PHP and JavaScript ports of these tests and protocols as well. So it's not just Perl, it's not just Postgres. So I wonder if this is similar to that. It'd be very interesting.
Call that a general trend right now. Actually, unit testing your SQL code, which is a good trend. Jesse Vincent talking about Prophet. That should be an interesting one. It's a peer-to-peer distributed database.
Oh, yes. He's been very reticent about that.
It'll be a revelation because there's not a whole lot of public information about it, but
it's a very cool idea. Coworker, I think, C.L. Cow, hid themselves off for 2 weeks and wrote this system. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about it.
There's a lot of stuff on open source in the international market. I think talks on open source in China.
China, India, Brazil.
Yeah. Canada. There's one. We've got one panel that is called Open Source Open World. Denise put that together. And it's a whole bunch of people from open source communities all over the world describing what's going on. NPR is going to be talking about an API that they've developed that's driving NPR.org.
This is National Public.
National Public Radio in the United States.
In the United States. Well, that's really interesting because you can see the BBC from the UK doing something similar.
So developing open source software and releasing it back out
New York
into
Times.
The wild.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. Things like Django actually came out of Adrian's desire to have more participatory journalism and bringing programming to journalists. So do you think that's an interesting thread that will accelerate media companies becoming more open and participating in the development of free software?
I think so. I think, for one thing, see the successes of BBC and NPR and the New York Times that give other media organizations more confidence to
come out.
Don't
forget about the whinging, of course. You know, BBC's putting its video content online in a way that everybody who's using Windows can view and nobody who's not using Windows can view. Kind of a little... let's just say if I were paying a TV tax and I couldn't watch my TV, I might be a little upset. So there are two sides to that, right? I mean, you have to engage with the community, but if you do it wrong, they'll tell you.
Well, I think that actually stands to the advantage of the media companies, if they can get feedback from users. You know, in general, they seem to benefit from going ahead and releasing their software and getting people to comment on it and getting to... I don't know how many contributions they get back. I suspect not that many.
Like any open source project, honestly.
Yeah. Users are always a much higher percentage than...
Right.
Yeah. Another interesting trend this year, which isn't surprising considering that it's an election year, is we got quite a lot of submissions on open source software in the political process. One on MoveOn.org, one from Benjamin Mako Hill on voting, open source voting software, and another one from Pudge.
It's Chris Nandor.
Pearl for political campaigns.
Now remember, he stuffed the ballot box on an MLB ballot 4 years ago, so maybe we'll have to have the FEC come and watch that talk for him. Or at least Jimmy Carter.
I got distracted by his talk description. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that not all tools are created equal, that we are endowed with certain useful tools, that among these are Perl, MySQL, and Mac OS X.
Well, he's two-thirds right anyway, right?
Open Solaris and Intel, Greybeards no more.
Who's giving that one?
Dave Stewart from Intel.
Dave did have a gray beard.
Maybe that's the irony of it.
That's funny.
Oh, we have some stuff on Hadoop. It's interesting.
Ah.
Hadoop with EC2 and HDFS. Hadoop.
The Hadoop file system?
File system, yeah.
Is that implemented in terms of Fuse or something else?
It's an interesting question. I can't tell you.
Okay. Stump the conference chair. Nice.
You'll have to ask Sanjay Radia from Yahoo.
Hadoop, of course, is the open source implementation of Google's famous MapReduce algorithm, which isn't really a Google proprietary algorithm. It's something people already knew before them, but made it really famous.
By using it on very large scale data.
Well, any closing thoughts you want to have our listeners and readers keep in mind as they think about going to OSCON this year, or curse the fates for not allowing them to go to OSCON this year?
It's going to be a huge party, big celebration for our 10th anniversary.
And now something to tell their bosses so they can get permission to go.
If you only go to one conference this year, go to OSCON, because it is the best of all open source conferences.
How about open your brain with a crowbar and stuff in as much information as it can hold, sew you back together, and send you on your way like some sort of deranged, demented Frankenstein with 20% more productivity?
I'm sure their boss will love that.
All right. Well, thank you, Allison. And this is the O'Reilly News, interviewing, very bafflingly, people who are interesting.